time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Happy Monday to you all. I'm sitting here chuckling as I scrambling to mute my cell phone, mute the computer so we don't get any interruptions. But I am so excited to be here and join with some of my dear friends that have been with us in this podcast journey since the beginning of time. We've got Alice Alvey, Andy Schell. We've got Joe Farr and Alan Pollock adding a lot of content. What's going on? And we're excited to have you with us this week. Happy Monday. October 1st, 2018. We say that because many of you listen to this on a downloaded basis. So which podcast am I listening to now? Yeah, it's October 1st, so now you know. Anyway, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we are genuinely grateful to have you as our listener. The listenership is exploding to the upside. It's crazy. Very excited to have all of you all. As they say in Texas, have all y'all on the podcast. So anyway, our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format. You know why we bring it to an audio format? So you can listen to it anytime and anywhere. Working in the car, traveling, commuting, no excuse not to stay up on what's happening today. Hey, I got some news for you. I want to give a shout out to someone Alice introduced me to years ago. His name is Beth Ossinger, president of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Beth won the Housing Wire Award as one of the most influential individuals in the industry. So kudos to you, Beth. That actually happened last month and I didn't put it on the radio. So she must be terrible. But Alice, I want to thank you so much for building and creating that relationship with Beth. What an asset she has been to our firm and now partner and president of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Hey, I also want to talk just briefly about another podcast I was on. It was Phil Treadwell's Comments podcast. A lot of new podcasts popping up. Check out Mortgage Marketing Expert. I was interviewed by Phil Treadwell. We talked a lot about what's going on in the space of LO space. He actually focuses on realtors and mortgage loan originators. Check that out. Anyway, on the Hot Topic segment of this show today, October 1st, we've got an old friend. He's young in heart, but he's an old friend. In other words, been around for a long time. Tyler Sherman, president and founder of Motivity Solutions, which is now a Black Knight company. And boy, I tell you, they've got more stuff going on. And we're going to be talking about data and analytics. The mortgage industry faces many new challenges. And what is Black Knight bringing to you as solutions? Well, three things. I'll give you a little hint. We're going to talk about accessibility, affordability, and actionability. You got to focus in on actionability. We're going to talk a lot about that in the Hot Topic segment. So Tyler's on hold, ready to jump on, but we're excited to have you here with us, Tyler. Also, Mortgage Bankers Association, want to thank them for our partnership with them and their partnership with us. We will be at the MBA conference coming up here in Washington, D.C. I guess 2 weeks out. It's actually 2 weeks from yesterday, Sunday, is when it starts. But we'll be also there Saturday. Alice and I will be attending the Empower event on Saturday, an all-day event. We're going to be interviewing industry leaders. So if you're there on Saturday, swing by the booth. Love to record some comments about that. Also, if you're not signed up for MBA's Mortgage Action Alliance, MAW, you can do so through your iPhone app or through your app. They have apps that work on all the devices. So sign up. Very grateful for our partnership with the MBA. Also, Arch MI, the creator of the Innovative Rate Star program. They're going to have a really good, another one of the receptions. Theirs is one of the must-hit receptions at the conference. Black Knight also will be there with the reception. And also our sponsor, Black Knight, is the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. Open Mortgage, one of our mortgage companies that's on the sponsor. Grateful to have them. They do reverse mortgages. It's giving a lift to many lenders in their income. So we're going to get Scott Gordon on a little bit later talking about the science of sales. Great segment. It's getting a lot of traction within our listener group. Also, Lenders One and Mortgage Collaborative, two powerful mortgage co-ops that give you the advantage of meeting and forming close relationships with lenders and vendors. And it's up close and personal. Fannie and Freddie, that's where I really got connected with Beth Milstein, Fannie, and the team at Freddie. Great group of people, and it's a powerful organization. So Both organizations are excellent. We're members of both. Recommend it. Lenders One and Mortgage Collaborative. Check it out. Belma, the effective, efficient mortgage marketing platform. Love those guys. Brent Imler and the team do a great job. And also, Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. Every time I see the name Knowledge Coop, I start chuckling because I think of the latest video they produced. Check it out, knowledgecoop.com. They got some of the most hilarious stuff up there, and it sticks. So the way they do learning management is done through humor, but it's so effective. Also, predictive lenders connecting with consumers ahead of when a consumer is ready to buy. It's really predictive analytics they're using to connect with buyers. And that's also something we're going to be talking about because they do that at Black Knight. And we're talking about that with Tyler on. Also, and finally, again, Alice, Andy, Joe, Alan, for all their content. Did I leave anyone out? I don't think so. Anyway, hurry to get on to the Mortgage Minute. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's run over to Rob Van Raphorst. Get the MBA Mortgage Minute for this week. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 6737, the Protect Affordable Mortgages for Veterans Act. This MBA conceived and supported bill amends the National Housing Act to provide a technical fix so that a cohort of recently executed mortgage loans refinanced via the VA Home Loan Program will be eligible for pooling as Ginnie Mae securities. MBA now calls on the Senate to pass the bill. Also last week, MBA joined with other trade organizations to submit a letter urging the BCFP to make much-needed changes to the loan origination compensation rule. The letter identifies three key changes which would address the long-standing issues with the LO comp rule while retaining the core consumer protections of the rule and the Dodd-Frank statute. And finally, last week, mortgage apps increased 2.9% from 1 week earlier. That's it for this week on MBA's Mortgage Minute.
Yeah, did you hear the news? Mortgage apps are up. Okay, so they're not up a bunch, but they're up. That's good news. Good job. Love Rob Van Raphorst and the job he does at the MBA. Looking forward to seeing him and the whole MBA team. October 2nd, tomorrow, I'll be speaking in the Marriott Winchester at the Denver, Colorado Mortgage Summit. If you're in the area, come listen. I'd love to meet you. These are getting really well attended. Vince Valvo and his team put these on. And so we have that one. And we also have one October 23rd in Oakland, the California Mortgage Expo. So check those two out. Go to mortgageconferences.com. Get you to the website. So I'll be at those next two and look forward to hopefully seeing you there. You know, I've been talking about the digital business card. I've been at Fannie Mae's offices last week or week before, and then this last week I was at Freddie Mac's offices. And, you know, I don't even carry business cards anymore. I say, hey, can you have a business card? I just hold up my phone and they download my business card, the digital business card. And not only do they get in my information, all that, it stores it automatically in their contact folder. I can see when people open up the business card, you say, well, is it that kind of creepy? Well, would you like to know prospects that you're working with people if they open up and even look at your card? Do you know what intelligence can come? This is a good thing. And I think people are more and more open to receive digital business cards and what you can do with them, the message you can communicate. Everyone that's been seeing and getting my business card has been saying this. Lincoln, this is one of the coolest things out there, and it's playing in to the future of marketing. It's all about content marketing, and you can load up the 5 videos on there. Check it out. Go to our website, LickinOnLending.com. Check out our digital business card. It's pretty cool. Les Parker has done another one. I listened to this segment beforehand. I know the song, so I always love it. Check out what Les is doing at TMSpotlight.com. Let's get his macro market overview now, Les.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by LoanLogic. Here comes the rain again, raining on our heads from a bearish trend, tearing it apart from a slow note motion. Here, tiny drops in the bearish dollar trend locked in low volatility. See the emerging market stocks and bonds rise from recent lows, but amid slow price motion. Persistently low volatility lives, whether in a bear or bull trend. It makes no difference because of tame anticipated inflation, mild GDP forecasts, and low consumer and corporate bad debt. Restoration of the dollar bull rain might wash away the bear bond trend, but it won't stop raining on our heads from a slow note motion. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah, good stuff, Les. I love it. Alan just texted me. He says, I could just imagine Les Parker dancing to that song. That's hilarious, Alan. I love the text message. That would be hilarious. I'm not sure I want to see Les Parker dancing. He's good at commentary. I'm not so sure about dancing, but you know what? There's always a surprise in these secondary marketing gurus. So anyway, all right, let's move over to some of the other stuff that we have to talk about today. There's so much going on out there in the market space. Oh, by the way, if you want to sign up for Les's newsletter, it's free. Go to tmspotlight.com. Subscribe to Les's daily free newsletter. Joe Farr, so good to have you here, friend. Okay. I always love having you on the podcast. We missed you, but you were off vacating.
Yeah, it was nice. Out of the market for a while, and once I got back, it was a little catching up to do because a lot's going on.
There is so much going on, friend. Well, tell us about it. Did my best while you were gone, but I just don't hold.
I'm sure you did well. I didn't go back and look, but I'm sure you did well. So just focusing on today to begin with, MBS prices are basically flat on the day. They've been lower, so we've gotten some of that early morning drop in prices back. And that's despite a very good stock market today. You know, the U.S. and Canada announced a new trade deal, and that was helpful in spurring a rally in stocks. The Dow's up a couple hundred points. At one point, it was up 270, but a nice move on the stocks, and we didn't see any negative reaction to that in the bond markets. That was good. This morning, the economic data that came out included construction spending. It grew in August at just a tenth. A little more was expected. And then the ISM manufacturing, which is an important report for September, it slowed from August, and they cited concerns about the tariffs. And some of those concerns maybe went away with U.S.-Canada announcement this morning.
Is that encouraging?
Yeah. So looking at last week, Dave, it was the first time in September, first week in September, where there was not an increase in rates. It was basically a flat
week,
week for rates. And it started out continuing in a negative way with rates rising on Monday and Tuesday. But then on the Fed meeting day, we saw a nice improvement in rates. It wasn't based on the Fed statement, which announced a rate hike just as expected. But it came during the press conference. Chairman Powell used terms that indicated he felt like inflation was not going to rise significantly in the future, in the near future, and the market viewed that as favorable. The data that was released last week was mixed. On Monday, the consumer confidence came out very strong. In fact, it was the nearest the best level ever, going all the way back to 2000. Contracts signed to buy new homes were steady, but disappointing was the previously owned homes. The contracts signed to buy previously owned homes fell. And NAR continues to attribute difficulty in affordability and a lack of inventory in the right-priced homes, the moderately priced homes. Nice to see that the core PCE came in where it was, a little lower than what was expected, matching the 2% level on an annual basis from the month before. Now, looking at this weekday, we got the jobs report on Friday, which is always the most important information to come out during the month. 188,000 net new jobs are expected to have been created in September. Wages are expected to increase to 3%. They were 2.9% in August, and they're expected to be 3% in September. And the unemployment rate is expected to reflect a reduction in unemployment from 3.9 to 3.8. So all very strong numbers. In addition, the ISM Services Index will be released on Wednesday, and then not much else to come out during the month. Factory orders on Thursday, trade balance on Friday. But, you know, the big focus is going to be on the jobs reports on Friday. And certainly everyone will be glued to what's going on with the political process and the hearings for the Supreme Court nominees. So I don't know that has a likely impact on the market, but as we saw last week, that's where everyone's going to be focused.
Oh, yeah. Intensely focused, I think, is probably a good word to say for sure. That's good. So one of the questions that came in is your thoughts on interest rates, the direction of interest rates, and anticipation of future possible rate hikes. I mean, several people said, with Powell making that statement, are we going to have two more hikes?
I think we'll have the one that's been long-term expected in December. There would have to be.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I still think that will happen. The guidance I expect maybe will provide a little slower path for future hikes if inflation. Yeah, the wages numbers really are pretty significant.
It is significant, yeah.
Up with, and it's continuing. It's showing a fairly steady increase over the last few months, and if that trend continues, I think the Fed will continue considering the need for rate hikes.
Yep. We got some bullish stuff going on in the market, and I love the trade deal that was worked out. I mean, people may not like Trump, but I'll tell you, you look at his way to negotiate, we're getting some good deals. Things are getting the way they need to be. And so I'm thrilled to see that breaking news just before we went live here. So, Joe, thanks so much. Good to have you back from vacation.
Yeah, good to be back.
And it's good to have you back, friend. Be sure to stay tuned for Alice Alvey. Until then, let's listen to Scott Gordon giving us some thoughts on the science of sales. Scott, what you got?
It's been ingrained in us since we were kids that every time someone says, thank you, you're supposed to say, you're welcome. It's expected. But what if I told you that your expected behavior is not building a bridge? One of the fundamental aspects of meaningful relationships is the understanding that you and your partner are in it together. So you help each other out with no need to expect gratitude for favors or services, because you expect them to do the same for you someday. Instead of saying, you're welcome, simply say, hey, I know you do the same for me. This changes the dynamic of your relationship. It builds upon the science of reciprocity and implies that you now have the relationship where favors are freely exchanged. This is a minor change in your day-to-day communication, but the results could be huge. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job. Got some new content from him. I love that. I mean, I've encouraged him just to pump it out. We're getting a lot of feedback on Opal Mortgage. If you want to check out a company that's doing a great job of helping people make more money and do so through reverse mortgages, check them out. OpenMortgage.com. Alice Alvey, another mortgage company, works for another mortgage company. Our good friend Bill Cosgrove at the Union Home. Alice, good to have you here there, dear friend. Looking forward to seeing you and having you participate in the interviews at the Empower event. Looking forward to it.
Yes, I am too, Dave. And for those of you who haven't really checked out this event, I highly recommend, you know, collect your women team leaders and send them to Washington, even if it's just for the day and not for the whole conference. It's a terrific event. I'm sure it's not too late to say this is worthwhile. Let's get a group of women over there. You can send a group of men too, but it's just, you know, and it's not male bashing. I want to make sure everybody recognizes that. That's not
what's going on.
But certainly as women trying to, you know, build careers, being very often the one who's very focused on the family as well. Certainly men are very focused as well. But, you know, you're just a different dynamic in many cases. And just a lot of great information there to help build women's confidence and their ability to lead and grow as leaders. So I encourage folks to check it out and send some of your team members there. So my quick report today, as you heard from the MBA, we're watching, you know, the Jeb Hensarling bill of 46 move its way through. You know, we're down to just a few more months left in this congressional session, right? So it's always a two-year session. The even-numbered years are when things, you know, come to an end. And, you know, if it doesn't make it past then it's done. We're starting all over again. And this is a pretty big bill for everyone to try and digest and understand. And that, of course, is restructuring Fannie and Freddie. So as we talked a little bit about it on last week's show. There's some very big components about that. We'll watch it a little further, see if it's actually going to get any movement in the Senate. And perhaps, Dave, if we do see that that's going to happen, we can devote a full show to really what might become a restructuring of Fannie and Freddie. But for now, it's difficult to see that it'll actually make it all the way through. Another quick point to watch for is HUDCOs have their, you know, regularly scheduled open comment period about their forms. This is the standard FHA application form, the loan transmittal, and the model notice for the informed consumer choice disclosure. This comment period is open until October 22nd. I don't usually make a big deal about this one, but we really do need to change these disclosures, especially informed consumer choice disclosure, which essentially compares the premiums, the mortgage insurance premiums offered by FHA to the premiums in the industry. There are so many options today, and products have changed so dramatically. We definitely have a growth of non-QM in the space that maybe some FHA borrowers might be better off. I'm a big fan of the FHA product, and a lot of times it is the best product. But I think the disclosures do need to get a good hard look at. They need the voice of the industry to speak up for potential changes in those forms. So you have a little window still to go check that out. And make sure you comment on what's the best interest of the consumer for these disclosures, because I think they're hard to read, and they're like a size 2 font. Who reads that, right? So that's my quick update for today, Dave. Those are the pending that people should pay attention to today.
Very, very good, Alice. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there in Washington, D.C., and sitting at the table and doing some interviews. And you're also got a speaking role there. You're introducing some folks. So it'll be good. It's a great conference. And double down on that recommendation for people to go there. I think it's outstanding. Good to have you with us, Alice. Hey, by the way, do you know who, when PHH argued the case and sued CFPB and gave us a favorable ruling on behalf of the industry, you know who they argued? Which judge they argued it in front of? Judge Kavanaugh.
No, I don't remember. Oh,
Judge
wow.
Kavanaugh. I was with Mitch Kreider this last week in Atlanta. He and I were together. We had our Ainsworth Advisory Board meeting, and he brought that to my attention. I was talking to another attorney about it today, and they go, and Mitch said it so well. He says, I don't know if this guy's guilty or innocent of the charges against him, but I'll tell you, there's no one in America that knows RESPA like Judge Kavanaugh. He is an amazing student of our industry and got his head wrapped around one of the most complex aspects of it and did a great job in that ruling. So shout out to Kavanaugh on that point. Not trying to get political, folks. No, we're not going to go there, but I do want to tell you, he did a great job on that industry report. Alice, thanks so much for bringing us the report. So good to have you with us. We're going to be right back after our brief break with Arch MI, our good friend Jim Jump. And we've got Alan in the midst ready to go for us.
Hi, David. Arch MI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Arch MI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it, Jim, so much, and looking forward to your reception in Washington, D.C. Alan Pollack, good to have you on the program. Great report last week. Encourage listeners to go back and listen to your report about the digital conference, mortgage conference, in Las Vegas. So what you got for us this week, friend?
Good to be here. Thank you, David. So a couple of interesting things. By the way, did you know yesterday was International Podcast Day? It's officially September 30th. That's right.
We've gone to official day in the calendar. How about that? Woohoo!
We have.
Yeah.
I don't know what today is. It's probably like ice cream cone day or something like that, but maybe we can invent a couple.
Official day. That cracks me up. Well, that's good. That's significant. It's official podcast day yesterday. Well, I did celebrate it by listening to podcasts, but I did not know that. So what you got going for us in the world of tech, my friend?
A couple interesting things. The first one is breaking news, actually, right? Optimal Blue and LoanLogix announced about 20 minutes ago that they are joining forces to automate loan acquisition for correspondent lenders. So what does that mean? It means that Optimal Blue is leveraging their product pricing and eligibility systems, and LoanLogix is leveraging LoanHD, their corresponding loan quality lending platform. They're going to be enhancing from origination all the way to funding the correspondent
practice,
as well as others. But in conjunction with the partnership, Optimal Blue has acquired LoanLogix's product pricing and eligibility technology, the Loan Decisions business line.
Wow, so interesting. The old Nile, that was one of your babies. That one of your babies.
So for those of you that don't know, I was a co-founder of the LoanLogix platform, and I've been very, very much involved up until about a year and a half ago. When I parted from LoanLogix, so love the news, love the direction that they're going in. But, there's for so many years, there's been such a mark that's been set for product eligibility and pricing. It's interesting to see these two join forces. I think it's a great thing for the industry. The next topic, David, sort of breaking news, Facebook, 15 million accounts were breached in a cyber attack. Just recently happened. Most of you probably have heard about it. What they've said is it has affected users' login information. And according to a statement, hackers exploited a vulnerability in Facebook's code that allowed them to steal access tokens. The cost right now, currently there's a fine from European regulators of $1.63 billion. Facebook revealed Friday this information. They also said that it happened because hackers combined three distinct vulnerabilities in the system, and basically they took access tokens. Those access tokens are things that allow you to auto or single sign into other systems. So for anyone that, you know, automatically connects to Instagram, as an example, or Spotify or Tinder, those are things that that access token that's used is what where the vulnerability was. They've since repaired it, but, you know, this brings up a topic, you know, single sign-on and tokens is something that we talk about in our industry so much, right? As vendors talk and we say, you know, how do we connect? Even our Office 365 systems, we're talking about connecting single sign-on to these platforms. So nothing is foolproof and everything is open for hackers. So yes, Facebook's a big entity, but this kind of thing should have been known about and it never should have happened. So, you know, definitely an interesting topic for us to talk about over the next couple podcasts. On the better part of the news, LBAware released their loan originator performance trends. And it's very interesting because they don't typically put out a lot of white papers. That, you know, they have
don't.
A lot
Lori
of
Lori company there. Yeah.
That's right. You had Lori on 2 weeks ago. So Lori and her team took a bunch of data. They actually looked at about 5,500 loan officers. They put them in a line. They applied a classroom style grading to them, A, B, C, and D. They looked at the performance of them over 30 months, and they found that the top A players, the Hall of Fame loan officers, make up a very small set of the population. And they also found that those top LOs have teams of LOAs and junior LOs behind them. The top 3% of loan officers in this white paper, it states that they do 70% of the production. And so some really interesting stats in there. There's a nice looking Sankey chart that really shows what some of the trends are and what they were able to look at with this data. So you want to head over to lbaware.com and take a look at that.
It's a free white paper out there to look at?
It is, yeah.
That's good.
Yep, free white paper.
Good. Kudos, and
there's some subsequent versions that she's working on as well. In addition, Gateway Mortgage, you know, in a market right now where we're talking about there's been some conversation about layoffs and volume and margins being compressed, right? The big squeeze right now, Gateway Mortgage has announced that they're actually strengthening their nationwide recruitment efforts. And they're doing it based on deploying LinkStep, which is a state-of-the-art web-based digital mortgage experience that dramatically simplifies the home buying process. And so some of you are probably chuckling as I say that. I think what they're doing is they're focusing on the originators and the employees as well as just the borrower experience, which is very important because you've got to be happy inside to be happy outside. And that's a whole other conversation. But Gateway Mortgage, if you're an originator and you're looking for somewhere new, you may want to check them out with their LinkStep platform. Also interesting today, David, ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange. They were talking in the news about taking full control over MERS. So they did the acquisition back in 2016. They haven't done a lot with it. As we know, today MERS is keeping track of about 30 million U.S. home loans. And ICE is known not only for the for the New York Stock Exchange, but also their experience in making companies and processes digital. So the article talks, there's a couple quotes from within our industry, but more importantly, talks about how MERS is set up for significant growth. Nobody really knows the future of it. There are some digital loans in there. It's about 347 digital e-notes that have been registered in MERS. 347,000, I think that number is. 75% of all mortgages still go to MERS. There was over 5 million registered loans last year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with MERS, and do they turn it into a trading platform? Do they not? But that's also in the news. And then I want to leave us with this. Thoughts for next week. I'm not going to get into it today because I'm excited, Tyler, to talk to you and hear what's new at Motivity, talking about all things data. But at Digital Mortgage, there was a live poll. It focused on what are the challenges that you have implementing your digital mortgage strategy. And the number one answer, and there weren't hundreds of people that responded. A lot of people nodded their head up and down when they heard the answer. But the number one was execution challenges, decision-making challenges, having the right talent groups. The second best was technology constraints. So it brings us to a conversation, which is build versus buy. There's a lot of vendors out there. There's a lot of vendors that are chasing shiny pennies. The benchmark of where you need to be as a vendor keeps changing, right? You work towards one goal. You set certain partners. You look for your general availability. And then all of a sudden, everybody else is talking about something new. So really, as you look as a lender or even a vendor as what your strategy is, how do you start to determine build versus buy? We talked about this a while ago. I'm going to talk about it next week, so a little food for thought. But with that, I want to save time for you, Tyler. Yeah. And that's it for today.
You know who the president of Gateway Mortgage is, don't you? Kevin Stitt, who's been a guest on our podcast and is about ready to become the governor of Oklahoma. So he's well on his way. So the ratings, Kevin's a great guy. I'm so excited for what he does. And for those listeners, go just Google Lickin' on Lending and Kevin Stitt. Listen to his comments and what he does there in his organization is so revolutionary, and I love it. Talk about culture. The guy's got it. Casey Crawford and those guys, kind of guys, they're doing some amazing things on the culture side. Check it out. Also,
absolutely,
we've got Andy Schell coming up. The Profit Doctor's back in the house after being gone for a little bit. Looking forward to having him on. We'll be right back after this brief break from our sponsor, Black Knight. So it's Andy Schell and then Tyler Sherman. Here we go.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Yeah, check it out. Good to have you back in the house, Andy Schell. Give us an update. So good to have you, friend.
Thanks, Dave. Last week was great. I was at the Loan Division Conference. I spoke for 2 days about hedging, advanced accounting, how to measure and report results. It went really, really well. Really glad to be there.
Awesome.
And thanks for giving me the week off. Although I did submit a recording.
I know you did. I know you did. Appreciate that. Hey, there's so many things I want to ask you, questions that have come in about profitability. A lot of focus on that, but I know you got a report, and then I have one quick question for you.
Okay, sure.
Go.
Well, some of the financial statement calculations are really deceptive to business owners, and so we're going to cover that in the webinar. But I did want to do the quick pitch because our webinar starts on Wednesday of this week. In 2 days, on October the 3rd, we start our 5-session webinar series through the MBA, and we cover how to capture data in mortgage lending, how to measure results in mortgage lending, and that includes hedging and the position adjustment, how to maximize profits in mortgage lending, and that's through organizational design, leadership tactics, operational efficiency, and then on through how to turn plans into action, what we call an evolutionary adaptation, where you actually drive to an expected outcome, and then how to report all this stuff to internal management and external parties. And when you start dealing with external parties and sending financial reports to your warehouse line lenders who are FDIC or OCC regulated commercial banks, now all of a sudden you got to send them data in generally accepted accounting principles formats, and that's where the disconnect occurs, because the internal numbers are like, how much did I make, what did I close, what revenue did I get, and GAAP makes you do all kinds of machinations that make it hard to understand. But we're going to talk about it, we're going to explain it, we're going to demystify secondary marketing, we're going to demystify financial reporting, and we're going to show people how to calculate KPIs that drive results in your business, just like what Tyler's going to talk about. But we're going to be talking about it for 5 weeks. Sign up at the MBA.org education, live webinars. Look forward to having everybody on the webinar. Who wants to learn more about this stuff? I mean, for some people, it's like going to the dentist, but I like it.
No, I think it's great. It's good stuff, and you do a great job on these webinars, so I encourage people to check it out. Go to the MBA website. Here's the question for you, Andy. You mentioned recently one of our listeners texted me and said, hey, when you're on the podcast, ask Andy this. You made a statement, you cannot cut your way to profitability. Everyone understands that. What are the warning symptoms when you've gone too far, or more importantly, when you're getting close to going too far on the cuts?
Well, some of it's going to be driven by customer experience. Some of it's going to be driven by just having a feel for how much is enough. So if you start, like for example, you cut your IT budget in half, and then that's a lagging reaction because it's probably going to take a year for that to really impact you. But if you cut your sending Christmas birthday cards or some of the like top of mind, some of the CRM stuff, you start cutting that and people feel it. So also on the origination side, if you start cutting back too far and you delay processing, delay underwriting, delay closing, customers feel that, and that generates reputation risk. So we got all these moving targets to try to address. So I think you got to start with the fluff, and I think that's probably already gone. So now it's really a very difficult decision because you're going to have to deal with short-term, long-term trade-offs in terms of reduction and what's the effect. So cause and effect is going to be a huge issue. And when we're looking at surviving, we have to focus on cash flow. So doing the things that preserve cash flow and drive financial performance through the system most effectively is probably the place to start. And I would also be very careful about loan originator profitability. So low volume originators who suck up a lot of time by throwing in things that just hope they stick and don't ever get done and chew up a lot of secondary time on concessions and demand marketing, create a bunch of new flyers. You know, some of that you got to think about. You got to really think about the ROI on supporting low producing originators. So I would probably start there. What do you think, Dave?
You know what I told him? It's complicated. Call Andy.
Oh,
well, that was my answer. It's complicated. Call Andy. So, Andy Schill, good to have you back. It's a great answer. And I love your contribution to the podcast since the beginning, along with Alan and Joe. Alice and Joe, sorry. So it's good to have you here, friend.
Thanks.
Folks, we're going to shift over to the Hot Topic. The Hot Topic segment. Let's get started. Everyone's been talking about data and analytics, and big topic today, and how it's going to affect the mortgage industry. And we have with us right now Tyler Sherman, who we used to say was with Motivity Solutions. He's the founder of Motivity Solutions, along with his brother Todd. Someone I just want to take a moment just to say I miss Todd so much. He unexpectedly passed away a few years ago, and my God, is he missed. But we do have Tyler here with us, and so much has developed since those early days where we met and have referred business back and forth. It's been a great partnership, and I'm grateful for the friendship. And while we miss Todd, thankfully, we still have Tyler with us, and not just with us, but doing great and mighty things. Tyler, good to have you with us, friend.
Oh, well, thanks, Dave. Glad to be back on the show. And it's an understatement that we all miss Todd, but, you know, we're keeping the vision alive of why he and I started Motivity, and, you know, really excited about what we're talking about today. So, again, thanks for having me on the show again.
You bet. It's good to have you back. I can't imagine anyone not knowing who Motivity is. You guys have been out there and very effective in your marketing and sales for all the years you've been out there. Thanks to Will and company. Great, great group of people. But, you know, several people wrote me in advance and asked, could Ty give us a little bit of a perspective on what he's seen over his journey in, you know, fintech space, basically providing technology solutions to the industry. So let's start there. A little bit about your background. Everyone knows you. Most people know you had a mortgage company, but let's start there. How you got into it, and real briefly, as we get ready to start talking about data analytics.
Okay. Before the show, I had to look up. It's actually been 25 years now in the mortgage industry. I started in 1993 as an originator. You know, shortly thereafter, we started our own mortgage banking company, and it was called Watermark Financial Partners. And really, our focus was driving a better origination process through the use of technology. So that's kind of where we started in the fintech mortgage technology space. Even though we were an originator, we focused on technology first, and really fortunate enough to build an incredible company and sell that company back in 2005. And people say we were smart, just luck as far as the timing.
You hit it right
on selling that company.
Yeah.
But then after that, my brother and I looked at the industry and said, you know, where can we make our mark? Where can we have a positive impact on the industry? And it was not by starting another mortgage company. It was really using technology and the benefits of technology to help the industry as a whole. So instead of starting another mortgage banking company, we founded Motivity Solutions back in 2006 and focused on, you know, using data and everything about data to make mortgage companies, originators, and servicers better at what they do. So, you know, really, you kind of look back over the years, and it's really been a quest from the origination company and the tech company to harness the power of data and turn it into intelligence and make a meaningful impact on the industry as a whole. Never been closer to that vision today, part of Black Knight, and I've never been more excited about what we're doing today. So
well,
that's kind
and,
of the
and
background
I think it's
of over the years.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, the timing of the sale to Black Knight, some people thought, oh, he, you know, Todd passed away, it's so untimely, so sad, but, you know, and they shortly sold the company thereafter. That was something actually you were working on well before, you and Todd were working on together, is a sale for some time beforehand, and you had selected Black Knight, so it's really worked out well. I think it's important for people to know that this was very intentional. This wasn't me moving and, you know, being grieving for the loss of your brother, who you guys were both so close. It was actually very intentional, and Todd was a big part of that decision, and so you completed it. So kudos, congratulations, and I'm so glad it's working so well for you there. Now, one of the things you did, Tyler, is you've always had the vision of working with data and analytics. And now that you're inside of that company, Black Knight, which has got so much data and analytics, you can really, really realize that journey. And so I'm really excited getting your perspective. So when you see the issues facing accessibility, affordability, and actionability, which is really interesting topics, when it comes to maximizing the value of data and analytics in a mortgage industry, what does all of that mean? I mean, those are words that sometimes I'm not sure people immediately, you know, it sinks in what we're saying there.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you start with your first point, accessibility, everyone thinks it's just about data and having all of the data. That's obviously paramount to any data analytics solution that you do. But it's, you know, it has to be accessible. And what that means is the end user of that data, you have to deliver that information. First, you have to take the data and turn it into what I'll call information, not just reports and graphs, but actually intelligence that you can act upon. And then making it accessible is delivering that intelligence to a frontline employee, to a manager, to an executive, either in the system that they're working in on a daily basis, so their loan origination system or their servicing system, to a workflow engine, or directly to their mobile phone, you know, an email, text, you know, a notification from their native application. So it has to be delivered and accessible, and you can't have to you can't depend on them being a data scientist to go get the information.
Right.
So that's what I'd say. Really, the first step is the accessibility.
How are you guys doing this to make it so affordable?
Yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of companies go through a build versus buy decision. And, you know, you heard Alan talk about that, and it's a topic that many lenders and servicers go through. And just to look at what Black Knight has invested, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars over the past 5 to 10 years on this data and analytics, and then actually having a big data platform and having the accessibility and access to all of that data, for most, if not all, originators and servicers, it would be almost impossible or cost prohibitive to try to do all of that on your own. And so the great thing about having a vendor do it for you is we have scale. You know, we have the top servicers in the country. We have the top originators. So we can make the investments one time, and our clients can leverage that investment. And so the affordability comes in play, that we're delivering analytics that deliver 2 to 3 times the value that our customers are paying for it. And that's kind of a key ratio that we look for.
When we were talking in advance of our interview today, I was really interested in actionability. And I was going, okay, that could go different directions. So explain to our audience when you're saying actionability.
You know, that's really a term that, you know, over the years, you know, the journey that I talked about, we used to think it was just about the data. We used to think it was just about the technology and developing analytics that were powerful. But what ends up happening is people don't use the analytics, so they don't actually change behavior by consuming the analytic and going and driving behavior. So it, you know, you talked about culture a little bit earlier on in the show. That it's a big part of actually harnessing the power of data and analytics is really making sure that you're delivering the exact analytic at the exact right time in the right place so someone can go act upon it, making it simple,
yeah,
making it powerful, impactful, but there's this immediacy and urgency that happens, and there's really an art to it. And so that's what we found out, that, you know, all of the data and the data science that we have behind this, that all of the power, it's almost an art form of how we get this information out to the employees so they can actually act upon it. And that's really what we call about actionability is really the new frontier of data and analytics. It's obviously you have to gather the data. Obviously you have to turn it into information and analytics. But it's actually delivering it and making it actionable that you can truly harness the power of these data and analytics solutions.
Let's talk a little bit about what you've referred to as the next stage of data and analytics evolution. I think that's an interesting statement. What do you mean by that?
It's not just reports and graphs. It's not really a look back in time. This is really harnessing all of the new innovation and technology out there. And this is, you hear all these bud words of big data, machine learning, artificial intelligence. And they've just been talked for a long time in the mortgage industry. And we're actually taking and harnessing all of those tools. And it's now in a real platform delivered to real customers, and it's driving real action. So, you know, really not a look back in the past, which is really what I'd say business intelligence has been in the mortgage industry for the past 25 years. This is all about predictive analytics, predicting problems, and preventing problems before they even occur. So it's harnessing all of this new technology and actually putting it into a workplace and having it drive day-to-day operations.
It's pretty exciting, and I don't think there's anyone who has more data in the industry than Black Knight. Let's talk about this thing called AIP, Actionable Intelligence Platform, which I think is just so fascinating. You know, what led Black Knight to develop this solution?
Yeah, so the AIP, or the Actionable Intelligence Platform, it's really a combination of all of the work and effort and investment that we've had over the past at least 5 years at Black Knight. And first, it leverages our proprietary data assets. So we have, you know, mortgage data, 20 years of historical data on 160 million first mortgages, 20 million home equity lines. So we have this vast data set that's contributory and proprietary within our that is proprietary to Black Knight. We also have property data. A lot of people don't know this, but we have 99.9% of all of the public records out in the industry. So this is, you know, tax assessor data, deed, mortgage, foreclosure, assignments, leases. So we have all of that.
99.9% of all property data you have. Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
So when you start to look at those things, you start to combine them, and then we have models that we've built on our own. So our AVM and HPI, or home price index models that we've built over time, start to look at this, and then we apply our data scientists to all of this data. So we link it, we store it, and we augment it, and we build our own proprietary models. A good example of a predictive analytic is a mortgage score that we can actually predict within the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 180 days, the propensity of someone buying a new home. And so you can get way ahead of the curve, you know, 6 months in advance, and reach out if you've originated that mortgage or you're servicing that mortgage.
That's extraordinary.
It's mind-blowing. The stuff that we have, I mean, it is really getting our originators and servicers at the forefront so they can capture that business or retain that customer long-term.
We had Rich Gagliano and Sufi Savavi on a few weeks back, and we actually had them on twice. We had so many questions regarding the artificial intelligence component, what Black Knight is bringing through the acquisition of Heavywater to the industry. It's just really interesting to see that. How does what you're doing tie in to what they're doing? Bring the two together for us.
Yeah, and so the Heavywater acquisition, I was the most excited about, I think, within Black Knight. But
I can imagine.
The artificial intelligence component, it's called AVA. And AVA is a self-learning, self-teaching artificial intelligence tool that the more data we feed to AVA, the smarter she gets. And so all of these models that I just talked about, all these predictive analytics, we're now applying this artificial intelligence tool to it, and it's only going to further enhance every single model and index and analytic that we deliver to our clients. So we're hoping, and we know that it's going to enhance what we currently have, but it's also going to uncover analytics that we didn't even know existed within the data underneath. So it's really bleeding edge technology. It's, you know, proof of how Black Knight is investing and innovating in the industry. And again, I'm, like I said, I'm more excited than ever about just the tool set that we have and what we're able to do for the industry.
Well, you know, I believe those of the departed already, Todd's of the world, are looking over the shoulder, over the banister to heaven, looking down at what you're doing, goes, go, Tyler, go. This is so exciting. So I think we all share in this excitement of what it's going. But let's get some clarification on something. Is an API different from your existing Motivity solution? In other words, does it replace it?
Yeah, that's a great point. So the Actionable Intelligence Platform, the AIP, is a combination of our big data platform. So this is where we house, it's called our data hub. So this is our Hadoop big data platform.
Right.
Plus our Motivity Enterprise Business Intelligence tool. So this is where we create the analytics and surface them and deliver them. Plus our proprietary data models and analytics and algorithms. So it's all of that together wrapped in an API layer so we can connect to any system, deliver analytics out to external systems, internal systems, or directly to mobile devices. So it's really a wrapper around all of those different technology tools. So it's a one-stop shop where you get your data, your big data platform, your business intelligence tool, and then your APIs to be able to deliver it in any way that our customers can consume it. So something that no other vendor in the industry has, none of our lenders or servicers have this type of technology. And so it's really a combination of all of that. And we just launched it last month out to our partners. So it's really, really exciting.
I have one more question for you, then I want to get around to Alan, Alice, and Andy, and Joe in that order, and we'll get some questions in that are coming in, and allow me some time to read all the questions coming in from our listeners. So let me ask you this. Who is your market for this? Is this just for the big companies or just for existing Black Knight clients? Because this should get everyone excited of all sizes. So, you know, who's going to benefit from this?
Well, you know, that's a great point because, you know, in the past, Black Knight has been looked at as obviously we have all of the top servicers in the industry on our platform. But our origination business, you had Rich Gagliano on, is exploding. You know, we've really looked at the market and this technology is not for everyone, but it's for the top originators and servicers, mid-market originators and servicers, or originators and servicers that want to be mid-market or leaders. So we're looking for innovative companies. We're looking for people that want to invest and grow. So it's not for everyone, but it is for the leading originators and servicers. And we've really expanded our market to include that mid-market origination and servicing group. So it's almost for everyone, but I wouldn't say for everybody.
Well, and one of the questions is, you know, I'm amazed at how Empower is really growing into so many various aspects of the mid-sized market. So that's encouraging, and we could go on and on about it. So let's get over to our friends. Alan, you know Ty so well, Tyler for so long, so well as I have. Any questions you have for him as we start off? And then we'll get over to Alice, Andy, and Joe.
Yeah, Tyler, good chatting again and hearing all the great news. Always been an admirer. You know, I love data. So much is going on with the industry. You know, it's almost like, and when I talk to people about the industry, it's not that we are going through a digital transformation. It's like every cook and cranny of this industry is going through a transformation. So when you think about, you have access to all this data, you can do so much with it. I almost, you know, want to ask you, what does the future hold for the mortgage industry from your perspective? But ultimately, what comes to mind is, you know, all the data you have and the ability to fine-tune your data for your customers and predictive analytics, like you were saying earlier. So really my question just is, you know, what does the future hold? If it was Christmas morning and, you know, you could just give the industry all the presents in the world, what would it be?
Well, I think it's, you know, that's a tough one. But
that's a big question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, it goes back to what my vision was and my brother and I's vision when we started Motivity. It's we really want to transform the industry by making it the most efficient and most compliant industry that we can. So really just giving our customers the tools and the data necessary to weed through all of it and just give them the make it simple, make it actionable, and just kind of, you know, take away all the noise around this so they can be the best that they can be as an originator or servicer. So, you know, really just allowing our clients to unleash the power of their own data, plus the data that we've built over the years, and just make them the most profitable and efficient company that we can. So that, you know, it's always a moving target.
Right.
You're never done with data and analytics. That's why I love it.
Oh, I agree.
So you can always continuously improve. So
when you think about, you know, what I said earlier, build versus buy, you know, I think you guys are absolute, you know, partner and buy. You know, there's just, if you think about all the years that you put into this, it's so hard to try and do this on your own. Yeah, that's a great point. And most of our analytics are driven by our clients. So we meet with them. We have advisory boards. We ask them what they need to make their businesses better, and we build it for them. And we can do it at scale, and we can do it a lot more affordably than they can. And then obviously we create our own analytics as well. But I'd say a majority of our analytics growth comes from the needs, new regulations that come out. We get everyone together. Yeah. How should we interpret this? What analytic do you need to help implement this within your organization? And then we go deliver it more affordably. So it's a great partnership with our clients.
Well, you talk about analytics. I mean, compliance, good segue into Alice Alvey. I'm looking at the clock. Man, we're running out of time. Alice, what questions do you have?
So my question, and there's a lot of data, obviously, and the core of that data comes by keystrokes, which take up time, right? So I'm going to put my efficiency hat on. And we're always looking for how much can I limit keystrokes, still get all that data, and perhaps have just OCR do the indexing and data extraction for me. So how much is your solution, or do you see OCR playing a role in this in the future?
Well, that's a great point. The data is only as good as the input, but our goal is to capture the data as early on in the loan life cycle as we can, and then keep that data and use system integration to drive that data between systems. And so all of our Black Knight systems are fully integrated, and the data quality is much higher than other industry players because we just do system-to-system integration with that data. So it really limits the keystrokes. And then with our heavy water acquisition, a big component of that is the OCR capability and reading bank statements and W-2s and any document within the loan lifecycle, turning in the information and limiting that keystroke. So we're on the forefront of that as well. And that's a big part of every single thing we look at from a product development lifecycle.
Andy, what you got for a good friend?
Hi, Tyler. Thanks for being on the show. Hey, I share some of your conclusion about data versus action versus result. And as you know, I love technology, as Dave can attest, but I also overlay ROI on pretty much everything. So when I look at data, it has to be for a purpose, has to drive something. And when we identify something that needs to be done, and this is where my question's heading to you. So when your systems identify a future state, like we're today version A and we need to be version B. So when we run into this setting, we actually run the project to drive the change because otherwise it never happens. And it sounds like that's some of what you experienced. How does Black Knight or you in your new role help actually make the identified action, the future state that we've identified, how do you make that become real so that they can actually benefit from the ROI driven from the future state?
Well, a lot of it is more data and analytics. So we look at if we're delivering a task to an employee, how quickly are they doing that task? Are they doing it correctly? If they're not, we bubble it up to their manager or into a different work queue, a different worker. And so through system integration and through analytics on the analytics, we are actually looking at our people acting upon the information as they should be. And if they're not, then we report on that. And it goes into an exception queue, and it goes into an employee level scorecard, and it's part of their weekly or monthly performance review. So a lot of it is system integration and making sure a task gets put into a task queue. But then it's, hey, did they do it? And then we always loop back and circle back to make sure that they can't hide, basically. So
that's great. That's a perfect answer. So I'm not going to put you on the spot totally. We'll save it for next time. But given all this data and all this workflow, it seems like Black Knight's poised for a LOS launch. So I'm not going to make you answer that question, but we'll circle back
already,
on that later.
We already have an LOS with Empower, and that's the leading LOS right now in the market. So we're going to launch an LOS. How about that?
You're more than Encompass. Huh, I didn't realize you were bigger than Encompass. Wow. That, great.
Well, in the top to mid-market, and with the acquisition of clients that we're signing now, you're going to see a pretty big push to be at the top of the market on the origination side. So it depends on which market you're looking at.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate this.
Yeah, mid to large size, the large size, you're definitely the king, and mid size, you're really gaining a lot of market share. Last but not least, Joe Farr, what you got, friend?
Well, I'm going to feed off of something Andy brought up a little bit, but you know, when you're talking about returns, I'm wondering if you have something you can share that provides some indication of returns, and are you further along, and or do you generate better returns on the servicing side or the production side at this point?
Both great questions. We've actually rolled out an ROI dashboard for our clients, so they can look at, it's like a up to the second ticker, so they can actually look at their ROI on a, you know, a up to the minute basis on the different analytics that have been introduced. A good example on the origination side is we've reduced cycle time, so clients using our platform versus clients that are not, and this is quantitative evidence of this, are 10 to 12% faster in producing a loan on the origination side using our analytics versus not. And so we have, you know, several other analytics that prove this ROI, but it's a constant look at what they're paying for the solution, and we try to be 2 to 3 times above that as far as the value they're receiving in a quantifiable way.
Yeah, and that is such cool stuff, being able to tell real time your ROI. It's pretty impressive. Folks, if you want to learn more, you got to get over to Black Knight. So if they want to talk to you more and learn more about what you're doing, Ty, I know you're really busy and you're now at the senior levels at the company, Black Knight, but if what's the best way for people to learn more about what Black Knight is doing specifically in the area of data and analytics?
Yeah, I would just go to blackknightinc.com. And, you know, we have a very informative website, or they can always email me directly. It's tyler.sherman@bkfs.com, and I'll try to get back to you as quickly as I can. I love talking about this.
You obviously do, and you do a great job. Grateful for the friendship. Grateful to have you on the program again, having you back as a repeat guest. And it's good to have you. Let's not let it be so long next time. And, of course, look forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. Thanks, friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Folks, we've had on our program today Tyler Sherman with Black Knight, part of a Black Knight family of companies and innovation that is so exciting. Check it out, blackknightinc.com. Say a special thank you to our listeners who've dialed in and stayed all the way through to the end of the podcast. Man, there's many of you. I don't think we lost anybody today. It's good content. We appreciate you. Also appreciate our sponsors, ArchMI, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, MBA, Predictive, as well as Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Coop, CardTap, and Vidyard. Thank you all very much for being a part of making this possible. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C., but stay tuned. Come back next week. We are going to be talking about the Empower event, that is the MBA's initiative, to really get behind and support the women of our industry. So tune in. We're going to have a special podcast on that. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.